is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe. Fog of war. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Non-Proliferation Policy Education Center, to help us with understanding the latest information from the IAEA in Vienna, from the battlefield itself, from Kyiv, and possibly from people who are at the plant. We can't tell. Henry, a very good evening to you. The reporting suggests a term of art that is important to define. It says that the final nuclear power plant that was operating went into island mode these last days and is now in cold shutdown as of 24 or 48 hours ago. What does cold shutdown entail? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. It entails first shutting off the fission reaction by putting neutron-absorbing boron rods in between the fuel rods so that there aren't enough neutrons to keep fissioning and producing heat, in addition to whatever heat the core already has. That's the shutdown part. That happens almost right away. The cold part, that takes some time, depending on how long the reactor has already been running. If you just started it up, the heat can dissipate to become cold, and the shutdown would be then cold in a matter of days. If it's been running for quite a while, which I believe is the case here, it could take, you know, many weeks to, you know, a month or two or three or four to get to the magic number of 200 degrees Fahrenheit. When the water surrounding the fuel in the core gets to 200, you no longer need to pump water or move it around to keep things from overheating. And so cold shutdown would then be a matter of weeks to perhaps a month or so to achieve, depending on, again, how long the reactor had been running before cold shutdown began.
What I take from your timeline is that 24, 48 hours is not adequate on the basis of assuming that the cold shutdown is some days hence, maybe some weeks hence, given the demands on this particular reactor to provide electricity for itself these last days, hence island mode. So therefore, I'm not hearing that this is a safe situation. That might explain why Rafael Grossi, the head of the IAEA at Vienna, said what we need here really is Ukraine and Russia to agree on a very simple principle of not attacking or not shelling at the plant. I mention at the same time from Kyiv, the announcement from the government is that the Russians continue to occupy the plant or the complex or the area. What is your measure of assuming there is a non-combatant zone around this? Does that make sense? It would still be in the conflict zone, one side of the river to the other.
In theory, if you put a Colgate shield or a big plastic bubble over the area, that would be terrific. But in practice, you'd have to have the total cooperation of the Russians. I don't think that's in the offing. They rather much see operating and occupying the plant as a military advantage that they can use for diplomatic leverage to get the Ukrainians to agree to any number of things that they may want to negotiate on at some point if this war continues, goes as badly as it has for Mr. Putin.
We also have this from Vienna, Henry. I'd like your comment. Grossi, the IAEA executive director general, told a news conference in these last hours that Ukraine is working on consolidating the power supply to the plant, meaning restoring power lines, including the regular power lines that have long been down. It was up to Ukraine, however, to decide when to fire up one or more of the reactors. Asked if Ukraine would wait until it had consolidated the power supply before firing up any reactors, Mr. Grossi said it is a logical conclusion. This indicates, Henry, that they're not going to cold shutdown. They're looking to restart the energy production from the reactors.
It's not optimal. And I think Mr. Grossi made it very clear that he was concerned that it was not optimal. The Ukrainian government is in a very awkward spot, which is it's going to get cold. And when it does, there are going to be an awful lot of people relying on that plant for basic heat, which is a little unusual. But there, they use electricity for baseboard heat in a way that we don't. We use natural gas more often than not. Long story short, they don't see a way to maintain the services that are necessary to their people without at some point running the plant again.
Well, let's look at the big picture then. We've got a nuclear power plant in a conflict zone, perhaps in the hands of the Russians, perhaps in no one's hands. The firing goes back and forth. We have one reactor that was running on island mode, now said to be in cold shutdown, which you, I believe, have provided information that is not cold yet. It's going to take some time to get cold. And the Ukrainians are planning to bring it back online. Is there anything that you would suggest, short of the utopian idea of making it a non-combat zone? How about getting another team in there? How about putting cameras in? We've talked about this over the weeks, Henry.
There are lots of things you can do if the Russians will let you that would make sense. I mean, the list is almost endless, including the things you mentioned, plus many others. I don't think you're going to be able to count on Russian cooperation unless one thing happens, and that is the imminent loss of territory that the plant sits on. I'm afraid any technical solution will be welded to some military change in who's in control of that territory. And so it's not a great situation.
When we last spoke, Henry, not anticipating this cold shutdown possibility, you talked about how Rosatom has technicians at the plant who are occupying the emergency section or some command center that the Ukrainian Energatom does not have access to. Is that critical to understand the fate of the plants wherever the Rosatom's technicians abide?
Yes, I think it's part of what would be minimally necessary. You don't know how to maintain a plant safe operation if you don't know everything about what the control of that plant entails or is reporting. And they are keeping that information very tight to the vest, Rosatom is, from the folks in Kyiv.
Also, some weeks before this moment, there was a threat by some aspect of the Russian forces to destroy the plant should it fall into the hands of the Ukrainians. Have you heard any more about that threat? Has that been repeated recently, Henry?
I haven't heard it repeated, but it's the kind of threat that doesn't have to be repeated. Just making it once is enough to stick to people's memory. And I'm afraid they made the threat saying that they had, quote unquote, mined the facility. It's hard to know what that means. Perhaps the one good piece of news is that the winds, prevailing winds right now, are blowing towards Russia. And so, you know, that may be some protection against the very worst.
Henry Sikalski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. This is Fog of War. It's Fog of Nuclear Power Plant War. Unknown territory. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashman.